You're listening to Channel Radio. It's 1 o'clock.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and she's back. She's back, the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
You say that sort of tongue-in-cheek, don't you, Paul Andrews? I mean, the older we get,
yeah,
the more tongue-in-cheek it gets.
Is that right? The more stonking?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, definitely. I am back. I got back fresh off the plane. I have to say, I flew Emirates because, as you know, I went to see my son, Joshy, who lives in Dubai in the winter,
mm-hmm.
and for his birthday. I flew Emirates, and I feel sad not to fly British Airways.
Right, but was it good?
Emirates is a little bit better than British Airways.
Well, of course it is.
It is. And it upsets me to say that, because I'm quite patriotic. And British Airways used to be, you know, flag-waving first class, didn't it?
Yeah.
But the last couple of flights I've had on B have not been very pleasant. So I went Emirates, and it was lovely, absolutely lovely.
Many years ago, I spoke at the University of Colombo in Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. And the flight was, it was an Emirates flight. And it went to Dubai, stopped for a few hours, and then flew on to Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And I got upgraded.
Did you?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
You must have... Oh, you sat in the... You turned left.
Yeah, I did. It was brilliant.
Once you've done that, you never, ever want to turn
Right. Well, I tried to get an upgrade on the way back, and there was no chance. The flight back was horrible.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, compared to first class... I got upgraded to first class.
Really?
Yeah, and compared to that...
What was it they saw in you, do you think?
The plane was just empty, and and
they needed the weight at the tech.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it was great.
No, I'll tell you what it was. They worked out fairly soon on that I'm teetotal, so it wasn't going to cost them anything in champagne.
Oh, exactly. Well, yeah. I would have had your measures. I get a gluten-free meal, and it always comes like half an hour before the new husband, so that's always a bit weird.
Right.
And then my tongue hangs out because they don't bring the wine round until they bring the main meals round.
Right.
So I'm sort of sitting there with my meal sort of going, congealing, with my tongue hanging out, waiting for a little camel juice or something. But it was great, Dubai, and I have to say, the service, Paul Andrews, kind of knocks spots off when you realise how hard everything at the moment in the UK is.
Yeah.
It's like anything you want, and as you know, I got the dreaded flu out there again. Second flu in 8 weeks, which is ridiculous. I've never had flu before. And my son just called a nurse. She was there in half an hour. IV drip, electrolytes and vitamins in half an hour.
Blimey.
Obviously, I paid for it. But I think in England, I'd have to go somewhere to have it. I couldn't have it in my deathbed.
Yeah.
Nurse came within half an hour. And basically, anything you want in Dubai, you can get with a click.
Well, I guess that's probably true here as well. It would just cost you through the nose, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know whether we've got the system
in
place.
Yeah.
I know I can get IV and electrolytes and that, but I'd have to go to London to a clinic, I think, anyway. But it was great. Obviously, the weather was good, the food was amazing, and my son arranged for us to be on the Palm.
Right, okay. And what was that like?
Oh, once you've been on the Palm, he had three Filipino lovely staff who, you know, I took my mother, Ruth, who's 92. And my mother was in the kitchen dancing with the Filipino staff, who were absolutely beautiful.
Anyway, I asked you what the Palm was like.
The Palm was lovely. So I spent 4 days in bed gazing out the window at everyone frolicking in the sea. So the villa was on the front, and you've just got the water there, and it was absolutely beautiful. A lot of security, very safe. You could leave anything on the beach, and it wouldn't be touched. Cameras everywhere.
Even Gav's Crocs.
Even Gav's Crocs. For those listeners that don't know,
Josie's husband Gav had his Crocs nicked off Tankerton Beach.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's the world coming to? Because he goes windsurfing, Brad, and our house is here, and he literally shuffles down, as you know, Tankerton is pebbles. So he left his little Crocs on the side, came out, somebody had whipped them. And he had to shuffle home with bare feet along all the pebbles with his
Doesn't happen on the palm, that.
No. My son said you could literally leave a phone or money on the beach and it would, because you'd have your hand cut off if you took it. But everyone was lovely. We also did a conference in Abu Dhabi, as you know, which was great. The conference was really good. Abu Dhabi is lovely. We stayed at the Hilton there, which was beautiful. The staff. I met people, I chat to everyone. So in the loo, I met this lovely lady from Uganda.
You're all right? From Gander.
Uganda.
Oh, Uganda, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Is there a place called Gander?
There is a place called Gander in Canada, yeah. It's a bit desolate. I've been there, actually.
Well, she was the ladies' cleaner, you know, she was the loo cleaner. And I always chat to loo cleaners, as you
know. Jules always sends me a photograph of the toilets wherever she goes in the world.
I do like to assess toilets wherever I go. Anyway, I was admiring her hair. She had beautiful weave.
Right, yeah.
And I said to her, your hair is amazing. And where are you from? So she's from Uganda. And I asked her how long her hair took to weave. It was like 7 hours.
Wow.
But it was up.
We don't
like
that problem.
Brad and I are going, yeah, that's nothing compared to what we have to go through.
But it was, it was lovely. So at the hotel, there were 72 nationalities. At the conference that I spoke to, 72 different nationalities, so it's really good. They're holding COP28 in Dubai, I think this year, the end of the year, and it's a bit like Cairo, really. I have to say, as you wash your yoghurt pots in England diligently for your recycling, they're not bothering. They are not bothering. They've got huge cars, huge gas guzzlers, everywhere.
They've got quite a bit of oil as well.
Petrol's,
what, about threepence a gallon, isn't it?
We had a driver. You don't drive, you have a driver. Yeah. And all the drivers are Asian and lovely. But so I had, at the end of the holiday, we were at Josh's flat for the second week, me and Gav, while we were working. And I had all these plastic bottles for drinking water and loads of glass bottles for drinking water. So I kept them all diligently. And then I said to the concierge, where do I leave these to be recycled? And they just looked very blankly at me. And you just put them in the rubbish with everything else. So I think COP28 is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to up their game there.
In Dubai, do you think they will?
As you wash your little yoghurt pot tonight, just think of Dubai, Kuwait and UAE. And how they, it doesn't seem to affect them. But there again, it was lovely. It was a great break and the food was great. Little guava juice for breakfast.
Yeah, I saw some of your breakfasts.
Yeah. Were you a bit worried about them?
I was, yeah. Leave a bit to be desired. Yeah. How was the camel steak anyway?
Very good. Yeah. Very good. And camel milk. I've got camel milk chocolate.
I saw that.
Yeah. No, great. I had a camel milk ice cream. Delicious. Apparently very good for anyone that's diabetic. So I met, in fact, my homeopath told me this. He had a patient whose son was diabetic, so it must be type 1. So it's like born with. And she put him on camel milk abroad and didn't have to give him his medication.
Not easy to get camel milk over here, though, is it?
No, not in your Waitrose.
Oh, it's a business idea. We've had a business idea. Let's farm camels. Yeah. Camel milk.
Well, there you are. It must be healthy.
They're vicious animals, though, aren't they, camels?
Well, yeah, I didn't get too near them. They're a bit like llamas, aren't they? They spit.
Bit bigger.
Yeah,
but they do spit, and they can be quite vicious. When I visit my grandson, who lives in France, Bear.
Does he keep camels?
No, but we go to an adventure park that they are members of, and they've got a little small zoo there, and one of the animals is a camel.
Okay.
And it's this thing, it smells disgusting.
It is one
of the most vicious, because the kids will try and stroke it and it just snaps at them.
Yeah. It's probably fed up being in the
zoo. Yeah, like, get off.
Needs to be wild.
Yeah.
So it's got one hump or two?
Oh, one hump.
One hump.
Yeah.
So it's not hump free?
No.
Can't call him hump free.
No. So it's a dromedary. Go on, you're going to tell me it's not really a camel, it's
no,
a dromedary.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not an expert, but I saw some great things. It was a shame that I missed 4 days because, you know, 4 days out of 2 weeks ago, and then you got a conference 2 days. But after the conference,
how did the conference go?
It was great, really good. I spoke with a couple of ministers, and my new husband was moderating. So yeah, I was filming live from there on Twitter,
right,
for New Markets Media, that is. And yeah, it went really, really well. And we met a few of our clients from Nigeria who said to me, "Oh, Jules, I know you. I've seen you on the Zoom." So when Gav is doing a Zoom, I pop in at the background.
Would you like a cup of tea, dear?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
tea, darling. Yeah, yeah. You know, my negligee.
Yeah, can you put the rubbish out when you finish that? Yeah, yeah, exactly. When you finish talking to the Prime Minister of Nigeria, yeah, could you come and do the washing up, please? I mean, yeah.
So yeah, I was recognised, which is quite funny. But, yeah,
right, shall we start the show?
Yeah.
We're only 10 minutes in.
Yeah, it's great to meet Brad Levy. Hello to you. And hello. Also, of course, lovely Chris
Pollard. Yeah, Chris hasn't been here for ages, has he?
I think not. Has he been on since Romney Marsh?
I probably haven't done, actually.
Since your heyday?
I reckon today it's about 4 years.
That's outrageous.
It must be at least 4 years. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, one of the funny things is, I don't know about you, but when you think about elapsed time, because we missed that 2 years when everyone was locked down, it's just kind of disappeared, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
so I go, "Oh, I haven't seen you for ages." Well, it's actually 4 years. Mm-hmm. It would normally have been 2 years, but because we missed 2 years as well, it's all disappeared.
Well, also being in a conference, I found quite strange to be in a crowd and also on a plane.
Yeah.
It's interesting how much our mindset's changed.
Yeah,
being
in
a crowd is, you know, there was someone coughing on the bus to the airport, and I could see all these people getting very edgy and sort of tutting at this poor man that was coughing. Probably just a normal little cough.
I'm smiling, but I'm not going to go there because I'm not. I was just having a conversation with someone on Twitter yesterday that was just...
I think it's a fact that post-COVID, and I'm certainly experiencing it in East Sussex with older people, that so many, and we're not aware of it, and I will talk about this, but so many people are still nervous to come out. They're anxious.
Yes.
They really are.
Yes.
And because they spent so much time on their own, to come back out into society, and that's one of the... that's one of our focuses at Friends All Together.
Yeah.
Old people, elderly and young people, of course.
Yes, well, exactly, I agree.
Yeah.
It's not just the older people. A friend of mine who has a befriending service down in Eastbourne, and he had someone of 44 phone up last week, and it had taken them weeks to find the confidence to ring him and say, "Actually, I feel lonely and I feel desperate."
Mm.
And finally they've come along to one of his meetings. So yes, it is right across the board.
Mm.
And one of the interesting things I learned, you probably are well aware of this fact, last week, in fact I heard it on the radio, is that the highest increase in loneliness is coming from university students. Which is astonishing when you think about it, because we naturally think that if you're going to go to university that it's going to be social. But I think what I've learned as well, that over the last few years since I've started working within the community, I have become so aware of what is not happening and what needs to be addressed. But I think that's understandable in life, because we can be aware of something, but if we're not directly involved with it, we can be forgiven for not being aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I think social media as well, for young people, again, back in Dubai at the pool, I was new husband and I were the only people around the pool reading a book.
Really?
Everyone was on their phones. There were people in the pool walking around with their phones for an hour, looking at themselves in the pool for an hour. And I think with young people, you know, TikTok and Instagram is a scary place, you know. How you look constantly.
So talking about that, what we got on the Twitter?
Well, we've had quite a lot. We had of course lovely Chips and Dinks have been in welcoming me back and asking me if I've got the hump. And I said no.
I've had iTrust Assurance, the Speak Up Specialists. They've said, can I have a Business Bunker shout out? Well, of course you can.
And Michael Parks Surveyors, who are merrily surveying, looking forward to the show today, Jules and Paul. And they're listening in, and they are chartered surveyors. They're also commercial property consultants. They do valuations, leases, property sales and management. You can find them on Michael Parks with an E, PARKES.co.uk, and they're based in Rochester, but they stretch out everywhere.
Their Twitter handle's MPSL.
Oh, yes, thanks for that.
That's all right.
You see, I've had 2 weeks off.
I know, you've forgotten, haven't you?
I have no brain today.
I've had an interesting tweet from Gemma Harris.
What's she saying?
She says, will there be dancing on the Business Bunker today?
Dancing. Were you dancing last week?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, well, it's your age, Paul Andrews, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Well, that is very true. Yeah.
I was belly dancing quite a lot in Dubai.
That could be it. Yeah. Did you film any of it?
No.
Are you sure?
Not at my age.
Okay.
I hope not, anyway.
All right.
Why?
Perhaps someone would say that we will be strictly no dancing.
Strictly no dancing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twitter was quite busy. I missed quite a bit while you were away, but we've got DG East. Have you seen them?
No, go on.
So they're saying, hi, Jules Serkin, and your little helper. That must be you. How about a shout-out for a frustrated vehicle supplier still waiting for last year's vehicles to arrive? Semiconductor shortage. And you can find them on dgeast.co.uk. They're an independent contract hire and leasing provider of cars and commercial vehicles to business customers, but also private. And you can get new and used vehicles also. So they're still struggling to supply. How long did you wait for yours?
Mine was 5 months late.
It is outrageous. And what was the reason given?
I didn't.
Okay, that was BMW.
That was BMW. They didn't give me a reason. I said, it'll be here next week. No, it'll be here next week.
Yeah. And I saw it parked in the car park. I've parked behind, keeping a wide distance, of course. How are you managing with the dashboard now?
It's okay. I've got Lieutenant Uhura on it, because it is like the Starship Enterprise. So now I've worked out the walk factor on it.
Lots of bells and whistles.
It is, and that's why you're quite right to identify the semiconductor shortage as one of the driving factors. There's another driving factor, of course, now, which is a lot of car manufacturers have actually ceased manufacturing because they can't afford it because of the energy prices.
Well, there's that as well. But I wonder whether a lot of people are holding off, so I don't know why there's a shortage, because most people surely are holding off to know whether to get a hybrid or
One of the problems is that increasingly people don't buy cars, they lease them. And when your lease comes to an end, your lease comes to an end. That's what happened to me. My old car lease ended last October, and BMW got round to delivering my new one at the end of January, beginning of February. So I didn't have a car for 3 months.
Well, you did. You had a hired
one.
Didn't you?
I hired it,
which you loved.
I did actually quite. I had a little Ford Ka.
Yeah.
It was an orange thing. It was battered beyond recognition.
Which is great because
it was a good point though, Brad. Good point. It was battered to start with. It was a bit more battered by the end.
But that's great because you don't worry, because you know supermarket car parks are so narrow.
It took nobody any time at all to recognise it was me in this little orange car because I was driving it about.
Although it is a Business Bunker brand colour, of course.
Yeah, exactly. It was totally on brand, yeah. Anyway, I thought, you know what, why don't I just buy this car? But it was massively sought after. And somebody else bought it. But
really?
There you go.
What, the orange one?
Yeah.
The battered one?
The rental one, yeah.
Michael Parks have cheaped in or tweeted in and said, thank you so much for the absolutely lovely B Bunker shout out, Paul and Jules. Thank you. They've done a lovely GIF or a GIF.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
The Parallel Group have said, good afternoon, have a great show, have a great day, can we have a Business Bunker shout out? Well, of course you can, you've been shouted out.
Was there hijinks while I was away? Because I couldn't listen in.
Hijinks, as if there would be on a serious business show.
You had lovely Linda in, didn't you?
We did have lovely Linda Cloak stood in for 2 weeks for you.
Yeah.
Whilst you were away, enjoying yourself on holiday.
I was. Christo 43, he's got lots of numbers. Christo 43679718. Come on, I'm never going to remember that. He says, good to see Hump is back. That must be me.
Yeah.
Hump. Back on the show today, well refreshed and all fully hydrated, I hope. I'll be tuning in, B Bunker.
There you go.
Have
you heard from your mate Wayne since you've been back?
That is Wayne Cunnington.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
right.
He's back on Twitter as an alias because, as you know, he was
banned.
Yeah, so we can't really mention that's his alias.
Luckily, no one's listening. So
because
he
normally chirps in on. Well, there he is. Look, he's also on my WhatsApp. He says, "Can you hear the B Bunker theme tune playing in the restaurant?" And he's done a recording, so I'll listen to that in the break. So, he's listening in a restaurant.
The lovely folks at Athelbray have tweeted, hello Business Bunker, could you please let everyone know our autumn management program is filling up. It starts in September, and it's at the De Melza charity, 9 modules, 3 hours each. Alternatively, many businesses are having it delivered in-house instead, which is available if a better option. I think that's from Fran. And if you want to find out more, then I suggest you follow them on Twitter. Athelbray LTD, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E-L-T-D is their Twitter handle. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
We're going to do some cheesy tunage.
Yeah.
See if you can get this. Now, Brad.
All together now.
Name that tune. Well done.
Of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
construction businesses, we are celebrating the very best projects, people, innovations and businesses in construction. Could this be you? Winning an award can help you open doors to contracts, find new supply channels and break into new markets. Each winner will receive a beautifully engraved trophy along with a total prize package worth over £1,000. Enter the Southeast Construction Awards now at constructionexpoawards.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
There you go. As Brad correctly identified in one bar, opening bar of that tune, it was All Together Now. And that's a cheesy tunage in homage of our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back to the show after we worked out a gap of 4 years, Chris. I don't know how we managed to go that long without getting you back on, but it's a pleasure to welcome Chris Pollard back onto the show. Chris, with his new charitable venture, Friends All Together in Rother. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul, and thank you very much. Yes, yeah. We did work it out in 4 years, but we did admit that there was a pandemic in between.
So there was, yeah. There was mitigating circumstances.
Exactly.
But anyway, you're back now, and you've got a brand new venture that you've launched, and we want to hear all about it.
Thank you. I think all of us in the room and those outside have heard older people over the years reflecting on their life. And I found myself reflecting about 6 months ago. I was walking along the beach at Pett Level. And I went back 60-odd years to 63. So that gives my age away. And I remember late in the morning, I would get in the car with my father and we would drive round to one of the estates south of Maidstone, either Parkwood, Shepway.
Mangravet,
correct.
Mangrave, as they call it now.
Exactly, yeah, they do. And Dad would go to the boot, he'd take out a case and he'd walk down the pathway and maybe 10, 15 minutes later, he would appear at the front door and whoever was there would wave him off. He was a family doctor. In his spare time, he was a member of the Lions Club and he would always be fundraising. And I remember one Christmas, they would hold a Christmas party and we would go round and we would collect various children. Probably they were 8, 10 years of age, something like that. And I remember one particular year, we were out in Dad's white Hillman Minx with a red plastic leather interior with the bench seat.
And all right, yeah, yeah.
Urban age will remember those.
And a bag of crisps in the back for the children.
Funnily enough,
with the
that's it, the Smith's ones, I think it was. And I can see as we pulled up outside the house, Dad went down the pathway, the front door opened, and there was a boy and a girl there, and they ran down the path. Dad opened the back door, they jumped in, closed the door. And as we were driving away, the little boy put his arms on the bench seat and put his head through and he said, "Doctor, doctor, we had potatoes today." Now, it didn't mean anything at the time, but I must have asked my father at some time. And he said, "Well, yes, they're a very poor family. And that was something special for them to eat potatoes that day for lunch. And that's why we invited them to the Christmas party." And that happened every year. Fast forward 50-odd years, and sadly Dad passed away. That was the end of 2010, December. And I'd been living out of the country then, and I had to come back, obviously, and look after Mum. And she needed care. We were lucky to start off with carers calling in. And then eventually, as we've discussed, Paul, I got Mum full-time living care. Well, what was I going to do? So my initial reaction was, well, I need to be doing something voluntarily. So I became an ambassador for the Heart of Kent Hospice, and I became an ambassador for an educational charity called Tomorrow's People, who sadly are no longer in existence.
I used to work for Tomorrow's People.
Did you?
Yeah.
How interesting.
2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I raised, with the help of business networks, we raised a lot of money for them over about 3 years. And sadly, I was very sad when I discovered that they'd gone out of business. And I think, Paul, we went up to the Houses of Commons Debbie Stedman Scott, who had started the charity some 30 years ago. I met Paul in 2011 or 2012. We couldn't quite work it out today. And that was thanks to a suggestion by Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media. And Paul has been instrumental in so many areas of my life and also my wife's over the last 10-odd years. I got back into business, but I wasn't really comfortable with the business I was in through no fault of anybody. But I think it was 2015 or 2016, Paul, you invited me to the opening of a business centre for a charity down on Romney Marsh.
Yep.
And I remember the day that what sticks out from that meeting that day was Lisa Settle and I eating cake.
Oh, yes, I can remember. And Lisa does like some cake, of course.
Well, far be it from me to comment. But, yes. I mean, we enjoyed the cake that day. But I gave it no thought. Six months later, through an introduction to someone, quite ironically, I became a board member of the charity, the Romney Resource Centre. And I was able to oversee their marketing, developed a new logo and designed a new website. 2.5 years later, I was appointed CEO. And it was during that period of time, I was CEO for 2.5 years, that I became aware of what was going on in the community. Romney Resource Centre is an educational charity.
Because Romney Marsh, although it's an integral part of the southeast of England, it's desolate, but of course it is actually a desert, or it was classified as a desert for a long time.
Well, Dungeness.
Yeah, yeah. The Dungeness is a desert.
Continent.
Yeah, yeah. But of course it's very rural and very sparse.
With not much infrastructure for transport and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right.
But quite good local shops, I think, in the high streets around, or not?
I suppose it depends what you call good. I mean, yeah, I mean, they serve a purpose, and
you've
got Butcher Hythe
Baker
down the road.
Have you got? Yeah. Hythe is quite good,
yes,
the high street.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm trying to think what's there. But yes, there is a good Butcher's in New Romney,
yeah.
And Hythe as well has a good Butcher's, I know, as well, and they do have good local shops.
Yeah.
But I sat on a couple of other boards as well, and it was very interesting learning about what was going on the marsh. And I realised that because of my position, I was starting to become involved in the community. I wanted to understand more, and specifically with the centre.
Well, you made the point, I think, quite appositely earlier, Chris, that you don't know until you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, that's so very true, and I'll make that is very true around awareness.
Yeah.
And I realised that I started to become very aware of what was going on. And it wasn't only these vulnerable young people that were coming into the charity, but it was what was their lives behind the benefits that they were entitled to that they weren't receiving, not necessarily because someone had turned them down, but because they didn't know how to claim.
Yeah.
When I stepped down in July 2020, yeah, July 18 months ago? No, 2021. In 2021, I thought, well, what am I going to do? Well, I took 3 months off, actually. It was quite a... Shock's probably the wrong word, but it was strange not having that responsibility, that daily responsibility of thinking about staff, thinking about finances, and because we've been through COVID as well.
You miss it when it's gone. It's basically what it is, isn't it? It's like a toothache.
Well, it's very interesting you make that, and hold on to that, you miss it when it's gone, because that's relevant to something I'm going to say to you now, actually. And so for 3 months, I did very little until October. And my good friend, John Wilson, who's CEO of the Romney Marsh Community Hub, he's taken it. If ever anybody wanted to understand and learn about a wellness centre, there is a prime example of the need and how to run a good wellness centre. He's taken it from a day centre 4 years ago, and sadly he's stepping down this Friday, but he leaves it in a very good place. John and I have become good friends. He was my confidant, and I was very grateful to him. And in the October, he rang me and said, Chris, we're going to be developing a cancer support group. Would you be interested in being the male face? Because let's be frank, it's generally ladies that will run these kind of groups. Mm. And I agreed to it. the reason he rang me was not only because we're friends, but it was because my wife Miriam, 17 months before, had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And thankfully, the outcome was excellent. She caught it very quickly. The NHS were faultless. And I'd learnt a lot. I'd learnt about a lot what it's like to live with someone going through this, through cancer, and in her case, radiotherapy. So I said, yes, I'd be happy to do this, John. You have to be a people person. You have to like people. You also have to feel comfortable around people who have a health challenge. And I suppose maybe coming from a medical background as a child, maybe that played into it. In November, I was contacted by Breast Cancer Now. They have a subdivision called Someone Like Me. Miriam had been supported by Someone Like Me, and they were tremendous. They were really, really good, and they supported her over a year, and she was budded with a lady who had gone through a similar challenge. In fact, it's incorrect to say they contacted me. I contacted them, because they asked my wife, how is your husband? Would he like to talk to a counsellor? Would he like some support? So Miriam knew that comfortable is the wrong word, but I felt confident going through it, because the day Miriam was diagnosed, we had a brief discussion about it, and we said, we have two options. We can get involved in the drama of this, or we can deal with it. And because we are of a similar mindset, we dealt with it. I rang Someone Like Me, and they said, would you like to speak to a volunteer telephone supporter? I said, no, but I would like to become a volunteer telephone supporter myself. So through January 2022, I was trained for a month.
Okay.
Hell of an achievement, because not many people have trained me over the years, but I was trained.
I think it's actually a very brilliant thing to do, both from your point of view and from the organisation's point of view, to actually think about this, because we'll talk about support services for the person suffering an illness, but we don't always think about the ramifications on the people around them, do we?
You're absolutely right, because the natural approach is to focus on the patient.
Yeah.
So with Someone Like Me, and also, you see, with the cancer support group, but what I learned with Someone Like Me, there were certain skills that I learned. I believe that throughout my life I've learned how to communicate. I think there is an art to good communication, and I like to think I've learned that, or I have a good handle on it. And the training that I received through January was comprehensive, including how to potentially, not focus, but discover is probably the wrong word, but identify someone who's possibly feeling suicidal. Now, I'd never considered it from that perspective. As it happens, someone I was looking after at one stage actually came to me and said, look, I feel suicidal, and my wife does. And we were able to get them instant support within 24 hours. So I took up this position, which I'm still doing. It's a call to a couple of people every month. I'm happy to do it. And ultimately, we're listening. We're not counsellors. We're not there to advise. Yeah. We listen.
A bit like the Samaritans.
Exactly.
A shoulder to an
angle. And the same in the cancer support group. Although in that situation, I'm working with a nurse who was a director of nursing and spent many years working around cancer patients. So the two skills they've been very useful. December 2022. John Wilson rang me, the CEO of Rondy Marsh Community Hub, and said, Chris, look, now you're living in Rye, in East Sussex. He said, there's a couple of people I'd like to introduce you to. He knew I was thinking of doing something, but I didn't know what to do. He introduced me to a trustee and the chair of the hub on Rye Hill, which is a new community centre opened up about 2 years ago. It's part of the Rye Memorial Hospital. I had a long conversation with one of the trustees, and I didn't go there with any, with any outcome in my mind. I just went there to have a conversation because they're local people. I'd moved into a whole new area. I knew nothing about East Sussex, apart from that it is predominantly rural. Towards the end of the conversation, she said to me, would you be interested in starting a befriending service? We don't have one in this part of East Sussex. The reason why she asked me or suggested that to me was because when I was CEO of the Romilly Resource Centre, we were invited by CALM, Caring All Together on Romilly Marsh, a wonderful befriending service who've been in existence for some 25 years, to apply for funding to the lottery, in which we were successful, to develop a contract called Generations Connect, bringing young and old people together. Right. And it's been apparently very successful, even though they were hugely challenged by COVID in the initial year, 18 months. Well, it was coming up to Christmas, and I'll be frank with you, I thought, two things. I thought, do I really want to develop something? I've never developed anything in my life from the foundations upwards. And secondly, the old imposter syndrome, do I have the ability? So I went away over Christmas, and I thought about it and discussed it with my wife. And in January, I thought, maybe I'll look into this a little bit further. And I had a meeting at CALM with the manager there. She was very kind, Helen, and she gave me, although I'd learned a huge amount about how the organisation runs, it was very useful to have some in-depth information, because what goes on behind all the data...
Absolutely. Again, you look at the outfacing part of something and you think that's really brilliant, but you don't know how much frenetic activity is going on behind
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, and what we have to put in place nowadays to start anything.
Yeah.
So it was great. It was February that I met her. And John also said to me, John Wilson, CEO of Romilly Marsh Community Hub, said, I've met this wonderful lady recently called Claire Cordell. And she is CEO, or was CEO, because sadly she stepped down now, of Rother Voluntary Action, RVA. At some time in March, I was either going down to Bexhill or coming back from Bexhill. I can't remember the reason. And I suddenly saw Rother Voluntary Action. So I thought, I'll call in. And I did. I met a lovely lady called Alice Davey, and she works on a project called Making It Happen. Within 48 hours, I had a call from another lady, Jackie Saul Hunt, who works with RVA, and her responsibility is around Rye, right, in Canberra. And she said, Chris, we'd really like to help you get this off the ground. And I said, oh, right, okay, lovely, thank you very much. Over the next few weeks, she started to introduce me to people, leaders of existing community organisations in Bexhill, in Hastings, and in Eastbourne. In April, RVA had an event, a networking event, at the Creative Centre in Rye. I can't remember the name of it. But
yes, I know what you mean. Was it at Space or...
No, not Space. The other one.
The other one, yes.
Before the bridge on the left.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly where it is. It's run by Jane Garner. I can't think what they call it these days, yeah.
So I went along there, and there were a number of organisations. There were NHS organisations. Yeah. There were other caring organisations.
Yeah.
And I met them, and I put my idea, which was very basic at that time, and I hadn't met Claire. She came up to me in the middle of the room. She said, you're Chris. I said, yes, I am. She said, we want to support this. We want you to get this service off the ground. So I thanked her. Over the next few months, May, June, July, I just started to network frenetically, because I need to, A, to get to know people, B, I wanted to know where the funding opportunities were, and C, was there a need? Was there really a need? I now know there is. In August, Jackie Saul Hunt helped me apply for a small amount of funding, £500. And I was very grateful to that, because it gave me the opportunity. I set up a telephone number, which is there to this day, 01797458832. And I was also able to set up three consultation events. And I set up one in Canberra, one in Rye, and one in an area just close by to us in Tilling Green. With those three consultation events, I was able to gain an understanding from possibly people who may use the organisation in the future, what was going on locally, and more importantly, what was not going on. And also to just gain some ideas. And at one of the consultation events, something that really spurred me on finally, that I had to develop this, was, and I'm going to quote this, it was, she's a lovely lady, she was a reverend of one of the churches, I think, in Rye Foreign, in that Playden, I believe. And she said to me, Chris, you need to remember this, because in the early stages, I was looking at developing the befriending service, Friends All Together in Rother, for the over 65s. I've now decided, in agreement with the board, which I'll come on to in a minute, that it will be open to all ages for both volunteers and users of services. For the reasons that we spoke about earlier on, Jules, we touched on, that people of all ages are feeling lonely. Mm. And it may be that a younger person will be happy to volunteer, and or they may want to use the service, and vice versa. Mm. But this lady, this reverend said to me, she said, Chris, and I quote, older people have brains. We are intelligent. We want something to engage us, stimulate us. And that really stuck with me. So that was September and October. So I wrote up the report from each consultation event, and I started to collate the important points. And then I thought, well, I'm going to need a board. By November, and I had a strategy, I knew that I wanted to apply to register the charity by the end of December, by Christmas. Right. By the end of November, I had three trustees. I have a local businessman, successful businessman, who also runs the Rye News Weekly. I have a medical doctor, GP, who I didn't approach because of her medical background, although this is already proving hugely useful, because she's setting up Sussex Outreach Support, SOS. And again, I want to collaborate with organisations going on. And the third member is the lead project coordinator and communities lead at St Michael's Hospice, a wonderful hospice, as they all are, based in Bexhill. I also have three volunteers who come to the board meetings as well. One is our accountant, who's a partner at GMP. Another lady, as it happens, who set up Rye Mutual Aid, and with her partner, they had over 600 volunteers during COVID.
Excellent!
Yeah. Wow!
Amazing!
And exactly, yeah. And
will they continue then with that 600?
No,
now,
they because of a lot of the volunteers, unfortunately, have stepped away because
they have jobs
work.
And things. Yeah.
And the third person is company secretary for a major charity. At our initial meeting, we agreed that we would not put an age limit on there. So what is the focus going to be? Well, Friends All Together in Rother, our focus will be about encouraging people to develop friendship, fellowship and fun through social interaction within our Rother community. Our first objective will be setting up the befriending service, and that will be run by volunteer telephone supporters, and they will offer face-to-face and or telephone support. We will have a qualified and experienced volunteer training coordinator who will be employed to oversee everything that is required to set a befriending service up correctly. Plus, we will require a good administrator. Secondly, the second activity that we will develop, which will be in collaboration with St Michael's Hospice, they have started up last year something called Saturday Social. And the same Saturday every month, they provide quality coffee, not granules, it's proper coffee,
proper schmutter
tea, and homemade cakes. And they've had upwards of 50 people coming, and I want to establish that, and I've said to people in Canberra, we will establish this in the community hall there. And then thirdly, what I want to do is, once we are up and running, rather than being an organisation on its own that will offer this outing, that outing, I want to collaborate with other existing organisations. So, for example, if we have a murder mystery lunch, or we want to go to a National Trust Garden, or whatever the outing or event is, rather than me just offering that to our members who are using the service, then I would rather go to local organisations and say, look, we're going to be doing this, we're going to the I-360 or something like that. We've got 7 or 8 people, it's going to cost this, how many can you get together? And if they can only afford, say, 50% of it, I want fair, friends all together in Rother, to supplement the balance.
Okay, yeah.
That is an overall, that is friends all together overall. Befriending the Saturday social, collaborating with existing organisations. I want to bring people together from other areas who they wouldn't necessarily meet. And finally, I want to develop meeting points once a month in different areas, and also reminiscence. And I'm hoping to be able to work with an ex-BBC radio producer who lives locally, who's already approached me and said, look, I'd really be interested. Because so many people, Paul, as they get older, they have such interesting stories. And my dad was one that I didn't catch. You know, when I look back, he was in India for 3.5 years, and he was one of the senior adjutants overseeing the repatriation of 250,000 troops to Europe.
It's really interesting, isn't it? As you know, I'm a carer for my old mum. She's 94. She has dementia, which is starting to accelerate. But she's still telling me, you know, because her long-term memory still works, she's telling me stories about the family and things that she'd never mentioned before. Nothing outrageous, but interesting stuff that happened. And, you know, I'm trying to record it all and manage it and try and keep a record of it. Because it's really important, isn't it?
Do you remember, that reminds me of Lisa Settle, because she did her mother wrote a book, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, childhood. Yeah, brilliant. Eileen's book is fantastic.
And
yeah.
I seem to remember there was a someone on the Business Bunker, one of our listeners, that used to be able to help people write. They were an editor.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were actually offering a service to help you.
Yeah, some memories, yeah.
Memories, you know, yeah. Fascinating.
I agree, Jules, and I think we're in danger of losing a generation of stories, you know, from the 40s through the 50s. I mean, you've had an interesting life, Paul, and I know we joke about it, but one day if you sit back and you actually think about your life, I look at my life.
Yeah, no one would believe me, though.
I look at my life from when I left school, when I walked out of boarding school, and to where I am now. You look at your life.
Yeah.
Brad, you look at where you are. You're much younger. You're the youngest in the room by about 30 years. But, you know, I think it is so important, and I suppose to come full circle from what I said right at the beginning, that reflecting on our lives is so important, because to see where we are and what we've all achieved.
Do you know what my mum said? She's 92, and with what we've been through with COVID and lockdowns, she said, I went through the war, but this is worse, because during the war we could hug people, we could hug each other, whereas we were told not to sit on a bench, not to mix with people. And that was her very, you know, remarkable statement. But she said the war, you could hug people.
Doddle.
That's a huge difference.
Bombs, doddle.
Yeah. Yeah. A doodle bug.
Chris, a fascinating story and a fantastic thing to do. And I think, you know, the thing that you've identified and the thing that struck me most about this is you never know what's going on around you until you get involved, yeah? And then it suddenly becomes clear as something that exists as an issue that needs resolving. And what you've done and what you're doing to resolve that is really, really laudable and, sadly, really, really needed. Yeah.
Yes, it is. More and more, I think we're agreeing. You know, I don't promote the words loneliness and isolation, but let's be frank, that's what we're, that's what we're addressing. But that's why we're going with the friendship, fellowship and fun.
And it's counterintuitive, isn't it? Because we live in a world of connectedness from technology, and because we live in a world where we all have access to transport of one kind or another, allegedly, you don't think about it. And because these people are resident in an affluent area of the first world, you don't think about
well,
it.
It's predominantly thought of affluent, but you'd be surprised there's deprivation.
But there isn't, yeah.
And there's huge poverty around Rye as well.
Yeah.
And also because we're so rural, our transport... Well,
there's non-existent, poorly. Yeah.
Getting medical care, I'm not saying in all areas, we're very lucky. We have an excellent medical centre, and they've been superb since coming out of COVID. But it's mixed for everybody, and you talk about transport, but not everybody has it. And we assume because of the connectivity, we assume because of the world we live in, and also people don't have broadband. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to use a phone. If you're talking about older people, they don't know how to have a tablet. That's something else we're going to address as well.
Just for what it's worth, of course, we're actually rolling out the end of telephones anyway, because Openreach, BT, have a government-mandated remit to take away fixed-line telephones and put them all as SIP phones.
Yeah. Well, there's never anything worse than technology when it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, just coming through the passports, you know, my passport wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And ESS
is a fiasco waiting to happen.
And everyone was grumpy. We'd all had a long flight. And there was no one to help us.
Yeah.
Long queues because the thing didn't work. Was it called ESS?
ESS, yeah.
What does that stand for?
Oh, electronics.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, whatever. Chris, thank you for that. We wish you incredible success with Friends All Together in Rother. I know it will be a success. I know you, and I know that you get very passionate about these things, and you make them work no matter what.
I think you have to be passionate, but I'll keep you up to date over lunch, because I think the next lunch is on you.
Probably, yeah. Chris, thank you so much for that. If anybody wants to find out more, there's a link to the Facebook page for FAIR on the Kent Business Radio website, so do check that out, and it has all the contact details there. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom soon, but I just want to catch up with a couple of bits and pieces. Almost 2 years after it was announced in the 2021 spring budget, the rate of corporation tax is set to rise on the 1st of April. If your company makes profits of less than £50,000, the small business rate of 19% will apply. If your company makes profits of over £250,000, then it's going up to 25%. But this is the difficult bit. If your company sits anywhere in the middle, it's going to be done on a sliding scale, except they can't tell you what the sliding scale is. That's useful. There you go. Meanwhile, in Poland, they've reduced their corporation tax to 9%. So if you've got a business, move there. That's what I suggest.
Dubai, of course.
Sorry?
Dubai, no tax.
Yeah, whatsoever. It's a bit further to Dubai. But, Ireland's 12% and Poland's 9%.
Yeah, yeah.
Sevenoaks Town Team, join us for the International Women's Day this March. It's the Batten Ball Community Centre in Crampton's Road, Sevenoaks. Wednesday, that's tomorrow, manana, 8th of March, 12 until 3:30. If you want to find out about it or book your place, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada.
And we've had a tweet from Phil Wilson, Pip Drums. So I was asking him how the gigs are going, and he says, gigs are going well. We have Dartford Orchard on Thursday with the Rocket Man, and then heading up north with T-Rexcy Band.
Yeah.
And he sends us a kiss.
Yeah. No, Phil's a good man. He's the drummer with Mud, by the way, if anybody remembers the glam rock band Mud.
That's right.
He's their drummer, but he also drums for percussies.
Tiny feet. I was saying, we haven't got much time, but in Dubai I went to there was a great bongo player. Amazing, and it's so emotive. I want to learn bongos now.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm going to get a set.
Funnily enough, that brings it full circle, because T-Rexcy, which is a T-Rex tribute band.
Mickey Finn.
Yeah, well, Mickey Finn played the bongos originally when they were called Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
Right, the Rye Chamber of Commerce has a spring meeting on the 15th of March, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Brewery Yard Club. That's what we were trying to remember earlier.
Is it the Brewery Yard?
Yeah, is that not where that was held?
No, it's Rye Creative, I think.
Okay. The Brewery Yard Club in Langate in Rye. Join us for our first of our quarterly chamber meetings, followed by a delicious Mardi Spice curry supper and relaxing networking with your peers. Can't be bad. You got 1 minute to do one thing.
You want me to gabble, Paul Andrews? So
gabble.
I will gabble. Please can we mention the eel, that's E-E-L, as in an eel, Kent networking event taking place at the award-winning Champagne at the Spinning Wheel Restaurant in Western. It's on the 16th of March. The top organiser, industrious business owner Chandra Sharma, will be there. You can follow him on the Twitter at CM Sharma, that's it, with an S-H-A-R-M-A. And he'll be there to welcome you 6.30 to 8.30pm. So that's the 16th of March, the Eel Kent networking event at the Spinning Wheel Restaurant in Western.
I've had a tweet from Amplify Digital. I have a great Business Bunker show. I wish we could tune in, but we can't because we've got no electricity.
Oh, dear. Where are they based?
South Africa. And they're on limited electricity. Ouch. She said, so I will listen to you on the recorded catch-up. So
oh, bless
thank you
them.
For
they
that.
Get 10 hours of outages, apparently.
Yeah. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got another guest to talk to, Mr.
Yes,
Brad Levy.
Brad Levy.
Here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio News Update.
Rail passengers are being warned to expect disruption for the next month as a fresh wave of strikes get underway. A 48-hour walkout by the RMT begins today, with another one starting on Friday. One of the victims of the Solihull Lake tragedy remains critically ill in hospital. Meanwhile, a vigil's taken place in memory of the three boys who lost their lives on Sunday afternoon. The first public parole hearing in UK history has taken place of Russell Causley, who murdered Carol Packman. Daughter Samantha Gillingham says knowing more about the process is helpful for her.
I think it was really invaluable for me. It's been nothing worse than going through the parole process without actually being able to know what's being said behind closed doors. It's very difficult when you've got no information at all.
And ABBA star Bjorn Ulvaeus says he hopes Eurovision 2023 unites people in Europe around Ukraine. From Radio News Hub, I'm Edward Breslin.
Now that the holiday season is over, many timeshare owners are facing a winter of expensive upkeep. With rising inflation, now more than ever, we need to look after our money. If you own a timeshare in Spain or the Canaries and bought it after 5th of January 1999, you may have been missold. MyTimeshareClaim.co.uk could help you exit your contract and receive substantial compensation. To find out more, text TIME to 78900. That's TIME to 78900 today.
Billie Piper says she studied Britney Spears, Caroline Flack and Amy Winehouse when considering how to explore events that can lead to a celebrity experiencing awful tragedies for the new series of I Hate Susie. The hit comedy drama follows the life of the actress Susie Pickles, played by Piper, whose life is thrown into turmoil when her phone is hacked and compromising photos of her are leaked. Bjorn Ulvaeus says he hopes Eurovision 2023 unites people in Europe around Ukraine, which was invaded by Russia earlier in the year. The member of the hitmaker ABBA, who won the song contest for Sweden with Waterloo in 1974, added the competition may seem shallow, but it has a deeper meaning. Meanwhile, Sam Ryder is rocketing towards his first number one album following the release of his debut record, There Is Nothing But Space Man. The singer rose to fame after placing second in this year's Eurovision, giving the UK its best result for more than 20 years. And Lily Collins says tourists told her while she was filming Emily in Paris that they dressed as her character whilst in the French city. The actress plays the marketing executive Emily Cooper in the Netflix show as she navigates life in Paris after landing her dream job. It's the first semi-final of the World Cup this evening, and the Croatia head coach Lato Dalic believes victory over Argentina in their game will eclipse the win against England at the same stage.